From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Imagine your favorite scene in your favorite movie. Now, look past the actors to what's behind them. In film and TV both, location is a kind of co-star. The Soloist, a film in theaters now, stars Jamie Foxx, Robert Downey Jr., and the city of Los Angeles. And the location manager, whose team found all the right alleys and underpasses for The Soloist, has many other movies on his resume. Movies including The Shawshank Redemption and Flags of Our Fathers. His name is Kakai Ampa. He says his job begins with the screenplay. He reads it and does what he calls a breakdown of every location he'll have to find.
And then I'll meet with the director and the producer and probably the designer. A lot of times they have an idea what they want, but not until we bring back choices is it settled. And then the second part of our job kicks in.
And the second part of your job is?
The management. If they decide on a location, then it's my department's duty to negotiate the deal if it's a privately owned, the permits with whatever municipality or where it falls, the insurance, coordinating where we park the trucks, where we feed the crew, all the things logistically that take to putting a film together and actually having a day's shoot.
You know, when I watch a film and someone lives in an interesting space, whether it's a colonial home or a fabulous loft apartment with a view of the Hudson, I imagine that they didn't build that, that someone else lives there when you're not filming. And how do you actually find those locations when you think, okay, there's this great loft there and it probably has the right kind of light? Do you just go knock on the door and say, you know, I have a proposition for you?
Well, that happens quite a bit. You know, we'll figure out what we're looking for, and then we'll look at the topography of the community, the city, you know, what's looking over the river. Possibly then identify a building that should have the right look and actually go ring a buzzer or bell and see if they're interested in having filming. In L.A.
How does that conversation go? Hello, my name is Kakai Ampa.
That's right, and give them your card. And we're potentially interested in using your property for filming. And we want to find out if you're open, not that you're committing, but open to the idea. And if they say yes, then I proceed to take pictures of that property, then I would post them or on my website so that those back in the office can see them. Then they'll select two or three that they would like to go see, and then they make a choice.
What is the toughest location you've had to find?
You know, they're all tough until you've found it, and then it's over, and then it's like, and I guess this is what they say about childbirth, you know, it's so hard, and then it's over. One of the more interesting ones was finding a black sand beach to create a war for Flags of Our Fathers.
Island X. There's an ugly, smelly, dirty little scab of rock called Iwo Jima. It means Sulphur Island, which accounts for the smell. Looks sort of like a burnt pork chop, you ask me. For 20 straight days of bombing, you won't find a blade of grass or a twig on it.
Now, that was one of the six films you worked on with Clint Eastwood, and as I understand, he insisted on a black sand beach. No substitutions.
Well, really, he wasn't that, you know, specific, but with Clint, everything is kind of low-key, you know, and so anyway, we went out and set out to find black sand beaches, and of course, we started with Hawaii, and it didn't work. The beaches either weren't long enough, wide enough, but the other problem was it was very tropical, and it didn't fit the look of Iwo Jima after it had been pounded by bombshells for a month, as it did in the actual battle. And then the other situation was that there were beaches that had nesting turtles, and you can't run tanks and gunfire and all that on a beach that has nesting turtles. It just, they don't match. They don't work out. And as I was on the Big Island getting gas with the film commissioner, the owner of the gas station knew the film commissioner, and he came to me and said, "So what are you doing? What are you looking for?" And I told him, black sand beaches to do a war. And I told him it was about Iwo Jima. He said, "Oh, yeah, like they have in Iceland." And I just stopped. And I said, "Iceland." And next thing you know, we were off scouting Iceland.
And what'd you find when you got there?
We found great black sand beaches that didn't have nesting turtles, that didn't have foliage because it's a very young volcanic island. And we would be able to move sand around. The Japanese in the Battle of Iwo Jima built a large berm, a high berm of sand. And the black sand is very soft. So the GIs had to hit the beach and then climb this hill of sand, which would give way underneath them. So it made it a double along with the bullets flying at them. And we were able to move the sand around and put the beach back in the way we found it.
Can I ask you about another film that we mentioned in the lead when we introduced you, Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
The producers for that film had already found the gothic-looking prison, but there was a specific scene that they really needed your help on. There's the character played by Morgan Freeman, named Red, is released, and he needs to go and find something at a very specific location.
Mm-hmm. There's a big hayfield up near Buxton. You know where Buxton is?
There's a lot of hayfields up there.
One in particular. It's got a long rock wall with a big oak tree at the north end. It's like something out of a Robert Frost poem.
Anyone who has seen that film remembers that majestic tree.
Yes.
How did your team find that tree?
Well, we had the prison in Mansfield, Ohio, and we kind of drew a circle of a 30-mile radius, and we looked within that circle, and we came up with three or four trees, and that tree we wound up with was far and away the winner, how it sat in the field and how it was all alone. The owner of the field leased the field out to a farmer who grew alfalfa there, and he would take three harvests a year. And we wanted the field to look overgrown. So what we came up with was, okay, you can take the first cut, and that was done in the spring, and that's usually the cut that has the most nutrients in it. That's the best cut. And then after that, we don't want anything touched. We just wanted to leave it like it is. We want to put it in the wall, which we did, but we then had to pay the farmer for the number of bales of hay he would have gotten out of that field. And then we put the wall in, and then we had a watering system, believe it or not, that would make stuff, moss and other stuff, grow on the wall. So by the time we were ready to film, it looked like it had been there forever.
Oh, so you had to age it.
Had to age it, yeah.
You know, when I go to a movie now and I'm watching these wonderful locations, I'm going to be thinking about you walking around with a manila folder filled with permits and maps where the cameras and the catering crews will be located.
Well, that's what I do.
Kakai Ampa, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Michelle, thank you for having me.
Hollywood location manager Kakai Ampa. There are pictures and movie clips from his work at npr.org. ¶¶